good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Mel, and I've been part of Grace Church now for, I think it's about 18 years, so a really long time, and I love it here. It's absolutely great. I'm really, really grateful to be able to stand here and speak to you this morning as part of our I Am series. It's like the end of term in Havant today, because we're going to be in Chichester for the next few weeks. And as a primary school teacher, I thought, seeing as it's the end of term, should we have a bit of an end of term style preach? Okay, so we're going to start with a game, because there's always a game at the end of the term, isn't it? So this game actually involves you guys standing up. Okay, so I know, don't groan. Some people have got up really enthusiastically. Other people are like, we've been standing up for ages. Okay, we're going to play a game called Last Man Standing. So if you really want to sit down quickly, just don't do very well in the game. And I'm going to read some statements to you. You need to decide if those statements are true or false. If you think they're true, put your hands on your head. If you think they're false, put your hands on your hips. If you get it right, you stay standing. If you get it wrong, you sit down. Got it? Okay, first one. Hopefully this one's fairly easy. Sheep are herbivores. True or false? It's true. I think that was a full house. Excellent. Okay, second one. Sheep have excellent memories and can remember up to 50 other sheep and humans for years. True or false? Oh, we've got a real... It's true. It's true. Oh, a lot went down. Okay. Okay, sheep are maybe a bit smarter than you think then. There are over 3,000 breeds of sheep. True or false? Okay, that's false. No. False, there's only about 1,000 breeds of sheep. That was a bit of a trick one. Sheep's wool never stops growing. True or false? Okay, I've got a picture for you for this one. Yes, it's true. You're all still in. See Shrek the sheep. They do need shearing. Sheep have triangular pupils. True or false? I think they've all gone false. It is false. They've actually got rectangular pupils. Very interesting. It gives them a very wide field of vision to help them to spot predators. Around 320 degrees field of vision. Interesting fact. Most lambs are up and walking within 10 minutes. True or false? Okay, it's false. It's actually about 30 minutes. Is that all? You look... Kayleen, you're the last man standing, last woman standing. Give her a round of applause. There we go. Excellent. Well done, Kayleen. Okay. So anyone got any ideas what they think we might, which I am statement we might be doing today? Yes, it is. I am the good shepherd. So today we're looking at how Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And as with all of the imagery of the I am statements, today's statement is loaded with metaphors and meanings to unpack. So as a primary school teacher and a literature lover, this is right up my street, digging out and looking for all the metaphors. And we're going to look today at 5 key points that this I am statement teaches us about the character of Jesus. And then we're going to think about what that means for us in response. So if you've got a Bible, can you turn to John 10 verses 11 to 16? It's going to come up on the screen as well. If you don't have a Bible with you. Okay. Jesus said, that's kind of added in just so that you know that he is the one that's speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay, before we unpack what it means today for Jesus to say that he's the shepherd, I think it's helpful to consider that if he's saying that he's the shepherd, what does that mean that we are? Sheep, yeah, we're the sheep. And I think it's helpful to begin here because actually calling us sheep is definitely not a compliment, although sheep do recognize up to 50 faces, for 10 years. Sheep aren't really that great. They're pretty stupid. They continually repeat bad decisions. They follow the crowd. They need help to survive, and they will literally unintentionally kill themselves. Does that sound, you know, can anyone feel any familiarity with a sheep and themselves in that? I thought, you know, end of term, let's look at some videos because, you know, the teachers like to show videos at the end of term. I found some videos of sheep just to highlight how ridiculous sheep are. So I'm hoping it will play yet. Firstly, the sheep that is rescued from the ditch only to jump straight back into the ditch again. Yeah. The sheep who was so greedy for food that he got his head stuck in the bucket and needed help to get the bucket off his head. Yeah. Stupid sheep. Okay. The sheep who was caught in sin. He's got his head in the sheep bag and he panics and causes a mess rather than trying to get the shepherd to help him. Here he goes. What's he going to do? He's going to run. The shepherd's there trying to help him. What's he going to do? Oh, no. Yes, he's crashing into everything. For those of you that are listening to this, we've got a sheep that's running around a sheep barn, just literally crashing into everything with a bag over on his head. Silly old sheep. The sheep who gets stuck on their back and needs rescuing. Did you know that if sheep get stuck on their back, they actually can't right themselves? They need somebody to come and turn them over. So we've got a sheep here in the middle of a field. Its legs are wiggling. It's on its back. And along comes the lovely man to look at him. Oh, silly old sheep. There we go. He needs turning over. He needs rescuing. And finally, another ditch one, just because there's so many of these and they're absolutely hilarious. It seems like it's pretty common for a sheep. Look, how did it get down that ditch? It's so narrow. Pulled out, you know what it's going to do, don't you? What's it going to do? Back in the ditch! I mean, yeah, sheep. It's certainly not a compliment for us to be likened to sheep. And Philip Keller, who was a Christian author from Kenya, who also worked as a shepherd for many years, said in his book, which was called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, it's no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. And this biblical metaphor that points us as sheep points to the fact that we need a shepherd. So if Jesus says that he is the shepherd, then we need to examine today what kind of shepherd he is and how we can follow him. So, as I said, I'm going to pick out a few key things that we've learned about Jesus through this short passage. But firstly, a little bit of biblical background. You can kind of see in that picture on the screen the kind of terrain around Jerusalem where Jesus was bringing this message that shepherds were working in. You've got a shepherd and a flock there. And shepherd was a metaphor that actually in the Bible times would have been a lot more relevant than it is to us now. The role of a shepherd was deeply understood in Jewish culture. And yet it would have been surprising for Jesus to have called himself a shepherd, because a shepherd in those days was not an aspiring job. It was a lowly job. And generally, in a family that ran sheep, you would have had lots of sons, and the job of the shepherd would have gone to the last son, the youngest son, the one with the least prospects in the kind of culture in those days. And So it wasn't something to be aspired for. So for Jesus, the Messiah, to call himself a shepherd really says a lot about him. And where Jesus was speaking the words of what we've just read, he would have been in the temple courts and in the hills and mountains surrounding him. This is what you would have seen: thousands of sheep. And sheep were bred for all the sacrifices and the rituals and the festivals in the Jewish culture. And people would have seen many of the sheep as they were walking into Jerusalem before they heard Jesus bring in these words. According to Josephus, who was a Jewish historian writing in the first century, around 250,000 sheep would have been sacrificed just for Passover alone. So sheep was a big deal. There was lots of sheep and lots of shepherds. And as Jesus was speaking these words, he in the temple courts, there would have been lambs in there being sold for sacrifice. So Jesus would have been speaking those words with the sound of bleating lambs around him. Let's have a go, shall we? Go on, do your best lamb impression. Very good, very good. Yes, okay. And that's who Jesus is saying that he is, the leader of the sheep, us, the stupid sheep. So let's start by examining three characteristics of Jesus that we can see through this metaphor of the good shepherd. And the first, I've got some really nice pictures. I hope you appreciate the emotions of these pictures that kind of, I think the pictures really show Jesus with the sheep, and imagine that's Jesus with you. And we've got here the first thing that a shepherd was, that this metaphor shows is that Jesus is a relational leader. And in verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." A key role of a shepherd in those days was leading the sheep to pasture and water. And in the arid mountains of Israel, that would have required like knowledge and skill to know the best places to go, to graze, to find water, to find shelter, to keep those sheep sustained. And the shepherd would need to know what the sheep needed, and he would lead them towards those things. And shepherds in those days would lead by walking ahead of the flock and calling to the sheep who knew the voice of their shepherd and would follow their shepherd. Often a bit very different to today in England, where sheep are generally in fields with hedges around them. They would have been walking across the mountains, and they would have often intermingled with other flocks of sheep. And yet the shepherd, when they called their sheep, the sheep would follow. They would know the voice of their shepherd, and the shepherd would recognize and know which sheep belonged to him. I think of myself as a parent in this metaphor. As a mum, I know the cry of my children. I know exactly when they're crying and when it's another child. I don't know if anyone else or any parent has been in a park and you can hear a scream or someone shout, "Mum, Dad," and you know straight away that's your child. And you can pick out that sound, the voice of your child. Actually, a 2011 study found that 90% of mothers could recognize their baby's cry within 48 hours after birth. Even when they couldn't see their baby, they could still identify their baby's cry correctly. And I think that's a beautiful picture, maybe a modern, more understandable equivalent for us of Jesus saying, "I know my sheep, I know my people, I know their voice, and they know me." So when Jesus says, "I know my sheep," what does it teach us about Jesus? Jesus knows what will nourish us. He goes before us, calling us to him, calling us in the way that he wants us to lead, He wants us to know him leading, and he wants us to follow him. Maybe you're thinking, "But I don't feel like I hear the voice of Jesus." Maybe you're feeling like that at the moment. "I don't know how to follow him. I don't know how to discern his voice." In the biblical times, sheep didn't automatically get born and know their shepherd. They would have been trained by the shepherd to have recognized his call. Right from when they were born, he would have trained them. Can I encourage you, as Thomas was saying, over the summer, to get dug into the Word of God? Don't keep bumping reading the Bible off the bottom of your to-do list, which is so easy to do. Put it at the top every day. That is how God trains us to follow him as a shepherd. You might feel like you don't have time, but make time. This is how we are trained, how God trains us to hear his voice and trains us to follow him through the word. I know that when I go through a season when I don't read the Bible as much, it's so difficult to discern God's path, the way that God's leading. And yet when I get stuck in every day, so often whatever I'm reading speaks to me and leads me and guides me. It just jumps out so regularly. The more we read the word, the more well we're trained to follow the voice of our shepherd. Okay, the second role of the shepherd was the protector. What a great picture there. It's of Jesus and of the shepherd fighting off a wolf with the sheep coming behind them. And this is a picture of what Jesus does for us. Jesus is our protector. There were wolves, lions, bears, thieves in the mountains of Jerusalem that the shepherd was responsible for protecting the sheep from those dangers. And Jesus is our protector. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. So how does God protect us? We're going to look at five different ways that God protects us. Firstly, intercession to God the Father on our behalf. It says in Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. It's kind of hard for us to understand what that means, that Jesus is with God and he's interceding for us. But Jesus represents us believers before God. And because of his sinless life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, he serves as the perfect advocate, bringing our needs, our struggles, our prayers before the Father. It's impossible to know how this plays out, but we can hold on to this word of truth in the Bible, knowing that Jesus has our back as believers. He knows what's going on in our lives and what we need, and he's interceding for us in that. One way that he did that was through giving us the Holy Spirit. It says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As I've already said, when we read the word, it points us towards the way that God has for us. The way that he wants us to walk in is good. And I'm not saying that we're never going to go through any difficulties or face any challenges, but if we walk in his way, we will have less. If we live in a sinful way, we're going to bring upon more difficulties and more challenge. If we walk in the way of God, it will be easier. And the word, the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Also, we have through the church, through the word, sorry, the word, we did that one, the church, through the church. It says in Galatians 6, verse 2, that we should carry each other's burdens. Put your hand up if you've gone through a difficult time at church and your brothers and sisters at church have helped you. Okay, look around. Like, this is what we do. God gave us one another to carry each other's burdens. So share what you're going with your brothers and sisters. Don't feel like, oh, I don't want to put you out and I don't want to be inconvenient and I don't want you to, you know, have to carry my burdens. That we're called to carry one another's burdens. And when you're weak, your stronger brothers and sisters that God has given you can help you and protect you emotionally, physically, practically, as you walk through challenges. And finally, through his providential care, there's so many ways. Catherine, praying this morning, thank you for helping me on my shopping trips. You might think, well, that's something silly, something little. But God does do this for us. There's so many little things that we might not even recognize, and big things as well. I want to share a story with you of God's providential care over me. I've actually got loads of these stories. So if you want a little bit of sit down with Mel story time, I've got lots of really good stories, Neil's laughing, of God's providential care. But we were on holiday in Montenegro, and some of you might know this story because I did share it a good few years ago at a testimony service. But we were on holiday in Montenegro. I was about 4 months pregnant with Layla, and I got a really bad sick bug. And because of my diabetes, often if I get unwell, I'm hospitalized because my body just spirals out of control and I need intervention to help to stabilize everything. And that's what happened. I was really poorly, and Neil took me into a hospital in Montenegro. They don't speak much English over there. Nobody in the hospital spoke any English. So we were in there, and also the hospitals are disgusting. We are very lucky. Our hospitals are super clean and very hygienic. It wasn't the case there. We went into this hospital and sort of tried. We didn't need to explain what was going on because I was just chundering everywhere, all over the floor. It was disgusting. But I needed some anti-sickness medication to stabilise my sickness, and the doctor sort of went off, got an injection, and we were just in a ward feeling really out of like control. We didn't know how to communicate with anybody, and suddenly this lady who was on a bed just across the ward next to us started speaking to us like, are you okay? Like, I can see you're having difficulty communicating. Can I translate anything for you? And she spoke perfect English. And she then managed to explain to the doctor that I was diabetic, that I was pregnant, and the look of shock on the doctor's face when she said that I was pregnant was like nothing else, because actually the meds that they were literally just about to give me could have caused miscarriage. And the doctors were like, oh, we didn't know she was pregnant. Okay, it was very early, so I wasn't showing. And went and got some different medication. And we turn round to thank this lady who was another patient, and she'd gone. And we didn't necessarily, it didn't dawn on us in that moment, really, did it? I'm looking at Neil. But when we then went back and thought about it, the lady was beautiful, so beautiful. I mean, not like many patients look like she looked. She was beautiful. She had really long, dark, curly hair. She was wearing all white. Who do you think she was? She was there in that moment and then disappeared completely. And it says in Psalm 91, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. How often do we encounter angels that provide protection without us even knowing? I've got some other stories I can tell you another time, generally involving being sick in other countries, but lots of providential care. And it, you know, God is amazing. The little ways in a shopping trip, but also the protection of Layla. Like, Layla might not be here if that angel hadn't come and protected us. So I just, you know, when Jesus is our shepherd and our protector, he is sending his angels to protect us in our day-to-day life. And there's probably so many times when something happens and we don't even know that we've been saved from some awful disaster. So let me encourage you in that. Pray for angels to protect you. The third role of the shepherd in biblical times was actually to live among the sheep. Not what shepherds do now in England, but they would have lived in the sheep, often sleeping in the open to keep watch over the sheep. And Jesus contrasts himself in this scripture with the hired hand. In verse 12 to 13, he says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. There's so many things in life that claim our attention and try to lead us. Ultimately, those things are not good, and will not bring us fulfillment. Like the hired hand, the ways of the world let us down. They damage us. They abandon us. How many of you here have found disappointment, pain, frustration in the ways of the world? When Jesus contrasts himself against the hired shepherd, he's drawing attention to the fact that there is a difference between the ways of the world and his way. His way is the good way. When we're obedient to his lead and lay down the things in the world, when we allow him to live in our hearts, like the shepherd who lives with the sheep, it will bring fulfillment like nothing else in the world can. We talk regularly about how the ways of the world are enticing and draw us in and leave us wanting. What is it that's leading you that ultimately will abandon you or leave you wanting like the hired hand? Maybe it's the rat race, so common to be drawn in by those things and think that they're going to bring fulfillment. Maybe it's a bad relationship that's leading you astray. Maybe it's a hobby that's taking the place of your relationship with Jesus. Jesus teaches us in this passage that he is the good shepherd and he wants to live among us. He cares for us, and if we allow him to lead us, he'll bring us to the places which we need to be. He'll protect us and care for us and heal us. I read this Bible. Ruby's got this Bible verse up by her bed, and we read it all the time, and it's such great truth. It says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." This is what the good shepherd does. He leads us, provides for us, protects us, heals us, and lives in us. So let's just look at two other things that Jesus says in this passage that teach us about him. The fourth thing that we learn about Jesus in this passage is that he is inclusive. Look at all these lovely different varieties of sheep. I've got lots of pictures of sheep from all around the world. And in verse 16, Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus was saying that he's calling all people to him, not just the Jews. And this was a shock to many of the Jews in those days when Jesus was speaking to them, because they despised non-Jewish people. But Jesus made it so clear in all of his ministry from the beginning that he wanted to gather all people. He went out of his way, didn't he, scandalously, to talk to and draw in outsiders, people that were rejected. Maybe you feel like an outsider today. Know that an outsider is not how Jesus sees you. He's calling everybody to come into his flock. This picture of all sheep becoming one flock under Jesus is portrayed in the prophetic writings of Revelation 7 verse 9, where John, who was seeing a glimpse of heaven, said, "I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne." So this is what we are here for. We are here on a mission to do Jesus' work, to bring in the sheep from other flocks, to share Jesus with all people. Jesus is inclusive. He wants us to be one flock under the leadership of one good shepherd. And the final picture that Jesus gives us is the most beautiful picture of love, of sacrificial love. In verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that is what he did, isn't it? Jesus was in the temple where people were sacrificing lambs to atone for their sins. But Jesus wasn't offering sheep for sacrifice. He would be the lamb and the shepherd who gave his life so that we could be saved. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This picture of Jesus as the shepherd is God coming to serve stupid sheep like you and me, and ultimately give his life to set us free. So we've explored that Jesus, our shepherd, is a relational leader. He's our protector. He lives with us all the time. I think the prayers that were brought this morning when Joel asked us to bring testimony just really spoke into that. Jesus is with you all the time, all the time. That he is inclusive, and he's the greatest demonstration of sacrificial love. So how do we respond to this teaching today? What kind of sheep do you relate to right now? The sheep who's wandered away? Are you searching in other places, nibbling in areas that you shouldn't be? Or do you keep running back into the ditch that he's already pulled you out of? Are you the sheep on their back, paralyzed by something that's preventing you from moving forward or moving on? Maybe it's trauma, sin, guilt. Maybe you can relate to the sheep with the bucket over their head. You're trapped in a situation, you can't see your way out. Or the sheep who's just following the crowd, not the shepherd. Are you the sheep who's hungry, desperate to know more of Jesus? Or the sheep who needs direction and you don't know which way to go? There's probably lots of other versions of sheep that I could have described. Maybe something's sort of spoken into your circumstances this morning. The fact that Jesus portrays us as sheep is bad news. As we've seen, sheep aren't great, right? They're pretty useless, in fact. But don't worry, there's good news in this analogy, because the good news is that sheep with a good shepherd do all right. They do more than all right. And the good news is that Jesus is our good shepherd. Can I have the band to come up again? How often do we think that we need to try and discern God's will? Has anyone ever said that? I'm just trying to find out where God's leading me, trying to find out and discern God's will for my life. But the truth is, if we look at this picture, it's not that the sheep need to find out that the way that the shepherd is leading them. The sheep just need to follow. It's that simple. The shepherd will lead them. And that's what I want us to think about now in our response. I want us to look at the shepherd. Why don't you bring to mind what's kind of maybe speaking to you or challenge you this morning? Shall we? Let's stand up and respond. Perhaps God's prompting you or challenging you in something. I want to encourage you. Can I encourage you in your life to start to pray the sheep's prayer? And the sheep's prayer goes like this. Why don't you close your eyes? Can I hold your hands out? Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. You called me a sheep. That means I'm pretty stupid. I acknowledge that I need leadership. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to discern my way or your way through what I'm doing. So, Lord God, would you open the doors that need to be open and shut the doors that need to be shut? Would you speak clearly to me as I read your word and pray? Would you protect me? And would you bring direction and lead me? Help me, God, to see you and follow you, my good shepherd. I just want to finish by reading the beautiful Psalm 23, which just most beautifully portrays our shepherd's love and his care and his protection and his provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to come into a time of worship just to respond. I would love to pray for anybody, and I'm sure there's other people here that can pray. Thomas is around as well. If you've got anything that's really you'd like prayer for this morning, don't miss this moment. We are to carry each other's burdens as the church. So I'll come over here, my left, your right, and I'd love to pray for anybody if you'd love prayer. But let's sing, let's worship our good shepherd in the knowledge that he is good, and we need to do is to follow him.